Football is all a matter of opinion.
You can see it in his eyes, his passion, and I think it can only be good for us.
They were there for taking on Saturday, and I thought we could have quite easily come away with a point.
Share yours, 01514720967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Great to be with you on the Legends from the top of the Radio City Tower. It's Friday night, 6:30. Aldo and Sharpie are in the building. Alan Irwin in the hot seat tonight for Steve Hothersall. It's your show, 01514720967. We don't just want the opinions of these two legends in front of me. We want to hear from you too. Give us a call, 01514720967, because the Premier League is back and we are absolutely delighted to be talking domestic football. We will reflect a little bit on the internationals, with Ireland completing the set for the home nations on Monday. Scotland, the only ones missing out, of course. But the Premier League is back. No more international breaks, John, till the end of March.
Heaven. I know, but you've got to talk about the Republic of Ireland qualifying now.
I just said that.
Yeah, I know, but let's start with that.
There's no need for you to throw Scotland in the hat there as well. The only nation not to qualify. No, but the Irish were brilliant.
John's just come down off a high after Monday night.
Do you know what? I didn't expect it to go through, in all honesty.
Really?
I just thought Bosnia might have been too strong. And I spoke to Rushy a couple of weeks ago about them in the Welsh group, and he felt the same. So I was a bit worried that we didn't have enough goals in our setup, you know. But we went there, we got an away goal, which set us up, you know. But what I was really impressed with was Martin O'Neill's tactic, Sharpie, because the way he set them out and the manner which they approached the game, when it's difficult knowing that a 0-0 draw will get you through, was brilliant. And obviously the first goal, was it a penalty? We were very fortunate, you'd have to say. Yeah. So a lot of referees wouldn't have given that, but you'd take it.
Yeah.
You know, better giving it for you than against you. And from then onwards, the lads done really well seeing the game out and got the second all-important goals. Great stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a classic. Didn't have to be, did it?
Absolutely.
I think
very
Ireland
similar
did it well.
To when Aldo played under Jack Charlton. Yeah. They seem to have that spirit, you know, with Martin O'Neill as well. And, you know, they're getting results. They're saying maybe not favourites, but, you know, it'll be an interesting one. They go over there, thousands will follow them over into France.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good tournament for them, but they deserve it.
You look at the tournament now, it's just a pity that, you know, we were drawn in Scotland's group, obviously, because, you know, they might have had the chance of getting the whole lot through for the first time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a pity because, you know, Scotland fans are like the Irish, they're brilliant, they travel great, but, you know, wasn't to be.
One of them's going to get drawn with England, aren't they? Because
the three
of them are in pot four, aren't they?
Right,
so Northern Ireland, Wales,
it's the Republic of Ireland, because we've been a massive banana skin for England since, I think, last time England beat us was mid-80s. They haven't been able to beat us since.
But with the internationals out of the way, done and dusted now, it's friendlies at the end of March. So concentration very much on the Premier League right the way through now. No breaks. You get the Christmas fixtures, the New Year. You get into the FA Cup, of course, which gives a little bit of a break from the Premier League, but this is the time where teams can consolidate, Sharpie, starting for Everton against the bottom club in the Premier League tomorrow.
Oh, don't be saying that, because it always the same new manager, you know, haven't won a few fitness doubts over, I think, Gusted and Agbonlahor might be missing, but that won't be easy. You know, a new manager coming in, new ideas, he hasn't had a lot of time to work with the players if they've been away in international duty, but I wouldn't say this is a foregone conclusion that Everton are going to win this. You'd like to think they will do. Decent little run of form, but you know, the games we've got coming up on paper, you know, everybody will look at them and think, we'll get maximum points.
Yeah, it's five or six games, isn't there, where you
think, how many times have we said that? It doesn't matter what you see in paper, it's what you do on the game. And the last home game against Sunderland, you know, we're 2-0 up, cruising 2-2, all of a sudden it could have went either way. So this is not, you know, necessarily an easy game against Aston Villa. Yes, we should win it. But, you know, Aston Villa will make it difficult for us.
Yeah, no doubt they will. And as far as Liverpool are concerned, many look into the big kickoff at 5:30. Yeah. Raheem Sterling up against his old club for the first time. Looking forward to it, John?
Yeah, of course you've got to.
Apprehensive.
You've got to, you know, you've got to look forward to the big games, the big occasions. They've got a few injury problems. It was, you know, but you don't take anything for granted. That's what the squad's there for. They've got a big squad of excellent players, you know. Company's out, that's a big loss, Company at the back for them. That's probably the biggest loss that they will have. Aguero supposedly coming back. You know, if he stays fit, they'll win the league. He'll finish golden goal. He'll get the golden goal, golden boot. Sorry. So you know, with him coming back, I think his last game he scored 5 goals and then he got injured, didn't he? Something like
Aguero.
That. Yeah. He's tremendous, absolutely fantastic. Yeah. But where Sterling's, you don't know. You just got to take as another player. Liverpool know him inside out. Just do a job on him, and hopefully he won't score against us.
It's an interesting one. I'm sorry, I was just going to see how Liverpool set up, you know, and how he sets up. You know, does he go and try and make a game of it, or does he just sit back and try and frustrate them and maybe nick something? You know, it'd be an interesting one how he actually sees the game. You know, does he see it within himself now that he can go and match them, or does he think, you know, I've just got to try and keep them quiet and get behind the ball and make it difficult for them. I'll take a point. It'd be interesting to see what he's thinking.
I think you probably go similar to what we've done at Chelsea. You know, hopefully one can see this early on, because I don't think you can afford to do that against Man City. They have struggled in a few games at home. And they got themselves out of trouble later on in the games. I think West Ham's won there. So, you know, it's not impossible. You've got to go down there with belief.
You expecting to see Sturridge play?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
You sure?
No, I don't think so. Well, no. I think he'd probably be on the bench at best, the manager. I think he's one of those players at the moment you've got to be very, very careful. We've said it time and time again. From a Liverpool point of view, let's hope we can get a run of games from him where he keeps himself, you know, injury free. It seems impossible at this moment in time, but let's hope that happens. If we can do that, we play him in Benteke and you've got Coutinho, then we'll start scoring regular goals, which we struggle. You know, you look at the goal difference, you know, our goal difference awful. And that's because simply we don't score enough goals.
Okay, let's head to the lines, because Dave's our first caller from Bromborough, waiting patiently. Dave, welcome to the Legends. You've dialed the right number. You're through to Aldo and Sharpie. What's on your mind ahead of the big weekend?
Alan, I didn't dial your number. I wanted to the Samaritans and I got through. How are you, mate?
All right, Dave.
After that performance a fortnight ago, we needed the Samaritans. Chelsea, we were absolutely brilliant against them. Come against Palace, I think they lost all belief. I really do. The passing was atrocious. Everything was atrocious. It seems to be the big games that brings the best out in this new team.
Dave, you got your radio on in the background. Just got some interference on the line. Don't know whether you can turn it down a touch.
No, mate.
Oh.
No.
Well, carry on. We'll try and ride it through.
Yeah. Like I say, hey, Chelsea... Chelsea was absolutely brilliant. Come against Palace, and the passing was absolutely atrocious, wasn't it? It really was.
To be fair, Dave, I come away from the Palace game. I wasn't too downhearted. I've seen certain aspects of the game that was very good. Again, you know, similar to the Southampton game, a set play done us. You know, Southampton, we don't concede that free kick what Milner gave away, or we deal with it better. We get another 2 points. Palace at 1-1. You have to say, I would have took 1-1. You know, you get 3 points if we deal with set plays, which we didn't, unfortunately. But I thought they were really good going for Palace. They looked dangerous all the time from the wide positions. Very positive, the players they had in them situations, and we really didn't deal with them good enough defensively. But going forward, I thought we were okay at times. The passing could have been better, I'll give you that, Dave. But I didn't come away from that game as downhearted as you have done, you know, a lot of times last year and you know, for a lot of games this year as well, you know.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, John, when you said Palace was positive. They wanted to win it. We didn't. That was the impression I got looking at the body language from the Liverpool players. You know, it's...
we're having a terrible... We can hardly hear you, Dave, you know.
Dave, we'll have to cut you off there, I'm afraid. It is an awful line.
Call us back, mate.
Try and give us a call back if you can, and we'll try and squeeze you in a little bit later on. But I'm not sure...
No, I'm not having what you said there at the end.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether we agree with the point.
You know, they wanted to win it. We didn't, meaning Liverpool. I'm not having that. I
disagree with that. Liverpool obviously looked like they wanted to win the game, and they showed commitment, you know, desire, which you'd expect from your team at home. But in the end, you know, you've got to give Palace the credit.
Palace are a decent side, and they've got some good players. And listen, whenever you play Palace, it's never going to be an easy game. I think, as you said, the disappointing thing for Liverpool's point of view was the goal they conceded to lose the game was a poor goal. You know, we talk about set pieces and crosses and everything else, but I thought on that occasion, I thought Mignolet was at fault. I thought he could have done better. You know, he spilled the ball. But listen, Crystal Palace, wherever they go, will cause teams problems.
Yeah, so it's now down to the approach that Liverpool take to Manchester City. How's Klopp going to approach it? Because at Chelsea, he virtually didn't play with a striker, did he?
Yeah, but obviously because we didn't have one. We had another EG, which he decided because he was struggling a little bit to leave him out the equation. And it was a good move. So tomorrow, we got Benteke. You know, people are talking about Sturridge, but I think it'll be too soon. So at least we've got Benteke there as a threat and a massive presence up front. And then he's got possibilities behind him. You know, for me, Jordan Ibe, again, was good against Crystal Palace. Look positive. Everything he does is positive. He's the only one, really, from wide positions as a forward who can go past the fullback and get a ball in the box. You know, so for me, you know, he's play.
He's one player who seems revitalised following the Brendan Rodgers departure.
He lost his way, Al. He lost his way. He lost his confidence. When he played left wing back, I think that was the final straw for him, one of Brendan's last games. He's resurgent and he's very positive. For me, he has to play him. You know, Coutinho will play and Benteke. And then he'd pick one of the others, maybe James Milner on the left-hand side. That's the way he nearly started at Chelsea. So it'd be interesting to see.
OK, well, the big game is dominating the thoughts of our callers because we've got another red on the line now from Littleton. Kevin's waiting to talk to us. Hopefully this line is a little better. Kevin, welcome to the Legends.
All right, boys. Thanks for being here. This is before. I don't think we were that bad against Palace. I think when we played like City and Chelsea, they give us more time on the ball. They don't carry us like Palace did. Palace had a lot of power and pace, and they bullied us all over the park. Whereas Chelsea didn't do that. City don't do that. When we have the ball, we can play a bit, and it suits our game more. And I think it's going to be over. And they've got quite a few people in this.
Do you know what, Kev? I think it's no coincidence that. The two games we lost this year from identical sides. West Ham United was nearly the same the first game this year, with power and strength, you know, in midfield areas and in wide positions and up front. You know, they had it in abundance. And Palace was the same, and we couldn't deal with it defensively. And subsequently, we lost two games, the two of the games. And, you know, people couldn't really argue that West Ham certainly did deserve to win us. But not Palace. I think a draw would have been a true reflection of what we've seen. But, you know, we got to realise that teams are getting like that now, you know, more and more so in the Premiership to try and counteract what the teams at the top have got with quality. They've got these players and they set themselves up, you know, really well. And it becomes very, very hard. And we've been flattened by two of them.
All right, definitely. I just wish Flanagan was playing tomorrow because he's one who's going to give Kaelin a good stay on a good kick.
It's come too soon for young Flanagan, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because I said, when we stay and play for us, he'd get a full back and give him one kick and he didn't want him to know.
Well, we used to talk about in our days when football was different, you know, that was a winger, you know, you get a little tricky winger and you always told the fullbacks early on, you know, let them have it. There you go. I have one of them, like, smack. And then see if they come back for more. And a lot of them did, and some did. You know, don't get me wrong. But I think if you can get away with a really good 50-50, get the ball, and you know, a good old-fashioned tackle without being over the top, you know, early on, would be a bit of a bonus. But Raheem, I have to say, he's a strong lad. You know, he's good for his size.
I don't think you'd kick him out of it.
No, I think you're right.
I think he's... And this is no disrespect whatsoever, and I think the manager said it as well. He's in the team now where it's a case of they just said, go and play. Go and play and go and do whatever you want to do kind of thing. If you lose the ball, it's not as if a case to get run. And I think he's flourishing in that team, and as I said, that's nothing against Liverpool, but I thought he did really, really well. But at times I thought he was playing left wing back, this one. I think now he knows where he's playing. Yeah. He's had a stable run in the side, and I think he's looking good. And I know he's only young kind of thing, but... As you say, I think he's a strong little so-and-so as well. Yeah. So he'll be up for it tomorrow. Mm.
Yeah, you'll have to score at half-time. I'll get so after 60 minutes.
Hopefully we'll get a penalty Ireland.
Yeah. All right, Kev, thanks very much for your thoughts. Ahead of the big one tomorrow, Manchester City versus Liverpool, 5:30 kickoff. We will get our phone lines sorted, I'm sure, before the end of the show. Like a problem at our end at the moment with those two callers initially. Manchester City, Liverpool tomorrow is dominating the thoughts. We will get round to Everton, of course, Sharpie. You've got a few bits of good news themselves in terms of players returning from injury. Cleverley's back. He'll be in the squad. Leighton Baines as well looks just about ready.
Yeah, contrasting reports. You know, people saying they're not going to rush Baines back, and then other reports saying he might be included in the squad. Cleverley coming back is, you know, is a bonus. I thought he was in a good run of form before he got the injury. But again, it's where he plays. You know, what does he do? You know, De La Feo did quite well again in international break.
Five goals in two games for the under-21s. Not bad.
And there's talk about him going, he's got a clause where he can go back to Barcelona and all that kind of thing. So the manager's got decisions to make. You know, it'll be interesting to see what he goes with tomorrow, if there is any changes. But we've been linked with players again, Alan, Ron Vlaar, earlier on in the week.
Yeah.
And we talked about it before we came on air. Do we need a centre-half? To me, we need a centre-forward.
I would agree.
Just to back up Romelu Lukaku. But he's got options here now, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what he does tomorrow. Cleverley want to play. Played for Villa last year.
Scored against
Everton down at Villa Park. So an interesting one tomorrow. It won't be easy, as I said, with a new manager. But it's one you'd like to think that you'll get 3 points from.
Okay. Let's give you the little teaser that we normally do at the start of the show and then reveal the answer towards the latter stages.
Let me tell you.
We've been doing this for a few weeks now.
I hope this one is better than the last one, which was an absolute...
I was listening.
Shocker.
That was the shots to goals ratio.
What
yeah,
a load
percentages.
Of rubbish.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. But you got it spot on, didn't you? That was the one before. Yeah, the shots to goals you weren't interested in. I don't think you understood the question.
I didn't have a clue.
Right, this time we're going to talk about goals from open play. Liverpool have 13 goals in the Premier League this season. How many from open play? So just have a think about that, John. Okay. Liverpool scored 13 goals in the Premier League this season. Not a lot. 12 games. Mm-hmm. How many of those have come from open play? Everton have scored 20 goals in the Premier League this season. How many of them have come from open play?
Is open play meaning not corners?
Yeah. No set pieces or, you know, corners, penalties.
Everton scored, what, 20?
How many of them have been from open play?
We haven't scored many of corners because our corners have been ridiculous.
Our listeners will know the answer, but we'll reveal it to you a little bit later on. There'll be no cheating, of course, because I think there were some...
About 10.
Dodgy
dealings. I'll have a guess of 10.
Your guess is 10?
10, yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you after the break.
Sharpie's delving for
a bit
of paper somewhere.
I've got to go and see the computer first.
We are going to take a break because we've got to fix the phone lines. Don't go anywhere. 01514720967 is the number to call. We will get it right. You're with the legends on Radio City Sport.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Yeah, welcome back to the Legends here on Radio City Sports. We've been enjoying the Percy Pigs during the break. We're always provided with sweets here on a Friday night, so we have to say thank you to Vicky tonight. The big boss has provided the all-important sustenance throughout the course of the hour, although I don't think they're going to last an hour, do you?
I don't like them. Can I have some licorice all sorts next time?
So, yeah, Aldo's putting his request in. Vicky, thanks very much indeed. We love to celebrate a good birthday here on the Legends, and today it's many happy returns to the last captain to lift a trophy with Everton. Dave Watson turns 54 today. Let's hear a couple of his greatest moments captaining the Blues.
Can Everton get the nose in front here? They've got a free kick. And they've got the aerial threat in that Newcastle penalty area again as Unsworth, a better one this time, swings it up towards Ferguson, nods the ball down, chance maybe, Watson heads it forward, great save, no it's in, and Dave Watson has put Everton in front, Cernicek full stretch to his left hand side, couldn't keep it out, and how often Dave Watson has been the man for the occasion in the major cup competitions. I remember he was in recent League Cup games, and now a captain's example again from Dave Watson, his fourth goal of the season. And with just under 25 minutes to go, Everton have got their nose in front. They lead Newcastle by a goal to nil.
And Dave Watson, who scored the only goal versus Newcastle in the quarter-final, who's lifted the League Cup for Norwich, lifts the FA Cup for Everton.
Happy birthday to Dave Watson. I won't tell you what Aldo said.
Yeah, exactly.
54. 54. No, he looks well. He's a fitness fanatic.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he runs marathons and all that. Mental.
Right. Don't forget the little teaser that we set the lads earlier. I'm sure all our callers know the answer. Liverpool scored 13 goals in the Premier League this season. How many from open play? Aldo's going through each game by game. Everton have scored 20 goals in the Premier League this season. How many of them have been from open play?
14.
Sharpie's changed his mind four times
so 14.
Far. I think he's going to stick
and I'm going
on
11.
14. Really? Right. Yeah. We'll let you know a little bit later on. We'll also be revealing your wonderful bets from last week in part three.
Oh, mate, it was wonderful.
We had a winner last week. We'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. But let's get back to the lines and hopefully our little technical issues have been resolved. We're going to test it with Tam the Blue from Wirral. Tam, welcome to the Legends.
Hello there.
Ah, perfect. What a relief. Tam, tell us all about...
You've got Blue on the phone. Hey.
Right. Okay. So the thing I want to talk about tonight is obviously set pieces. You know, I do know the answer.
Yes.
It's not a good answer, but I won't say it just yet. Obviously. Now, I suppose it's an issue really that's kind of gone on for too long for me. The set pieces. Now, obviously with Baines coming back, we have another option. But as to whether he can come back and fill Galloway's boots is another matter. I mean, I personally think Galloway should stay on the team on principle, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. What I'm here to talk about is something which might be quite contentious. I think we need to make a signing in January. And do you know who I think we need to sign? Marouane Fellaini.
My word.
Because he's got... Well, the thing is, let's be honest, he has no future at Manchester United. He has no place... Excuse me, he has no place in the Van Gaal team. But I do think he still could have a place at Everton. Now, we're playing Aston Villa tomorrow, and I remember clear as crystal, 2 years ago, we were 3-1 down to Aston Villa with about 5 minutes to play, I think. And Fellaini, if I remember rightly, scored twice. Mm. And I think at least one
from
of them
a set piece.
That was it, yes, exactly. And I think that was the equaliser as well. So we need that sort of fear factor back at Goodison if we're going to get these points. I mean, West Ham were there for the taking last week. You know, it's not often. I mean, during the Moyes era, I would think of a come-from-behind draw as good as a win. Under Martinez, our expectations have changed a lot. And I was very disappointed only to come away from Upton Park with a point. And I think that a greater presence at set pieces might have remedied that. Because, as I say, they were there for the taking. They weren't great. They're, as we know, they're better away from home for some reason. So I think that's what we need to be looking at, a tall presence in the middle of the park to cause a lot of mischief. I know that obviously he's not a footballer in the regular sense, but he's a danger man. Because I mean, cast your mind even further back, about 6 years ago, was it? We went, after a terrible first half of the season, we went about 10 games unbeaten over January, February 2009, I think. And I think the only game we lost was 1-0 away to United, but we're not complaining, because that stopped Liverpool winning the title. So, but Fellaini was deployed up front, if you remember. We had a real striker crisis before bringing Joe to Goodison Park. So I think that his flexibility could also be an asset as well. Mm. And I was wondering what your opinion of that was.
Well, Sharpie's been listening intently.
No,
here
well,
we go.
I am, but I just think that... I don't think Fellaini's a Martinez type of player. You know,
no, I agree with that.
And I don't, you know, you talk about him going up front when he scored against Villa. That was under Moyes. Moyes tended to play more of the long ball game to get the best out of Fellaini. Mm-hmm. You know, we've said time and time again... Mm. Over the last three seasons, you know, when Roberto's been in charge, that we don't get the ball forward quickly enough. So for that reason, I think it would be... I don't understand where you're coming from, but I don't think that will happen. You know, we talked about it before about given some support for Lukaku and bringing in another striker. If that was the case, I would be very, very surprised if he if he brought in Fellaini.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that point. But what I mean is, say we're, as I say, case in hand, Villa game 2 years ago, we're in a unfortunate position. We need to bring on a support. I don't know he's already on the pitch at that point, but let's say it's now, and he's under Roberto Martinez, and we're, I don't know, we're 2-0 down to Villa tomorrow, right? And we're out of ideas. We've made all the subs. Correct that. I mean, we're out of ideas. We don't know how to change the game, but we've got Fellaini on the bench. And we need to surprise Villa in some way.
You won't get that because that's not the manager's philosophy of how to play. Even if we're losing 2-0, and the majority of people inside Goodison Park will be saying, get the ball in the box, get up from back to front. Mm-hmm. Very, very reluctant to do that. You know, a number of times we've come away from Goodison over the last few seasons saying, why did he just not get it forward? That is not the way, that's not his philosophy and the way he plays. And listen, I've been there, I've come out of Goodison at times as well, and I'm thinking the same as you. Get the ball in the box. You know, over the years, that's what it's all about. Everton, get the ball in the box and make things happen. But under the manager, you know, he doesn't see it that way. Now, we've been coming out, tearing our hair out, saying, get it forward quicker. And he doesn't do that. So what you're saying, I totally agree with you. And I think a lot of people will be thinking the same. But, you know, the manager, you know, will not change his philosophy into doing that, even though he's chasing a game.
All right, Sam, thanks very much. And just to put you out of your misery, we are going to reveal this little teaser because it is relevant. Everton have scored 20 goals in the Premier League this season. How many of them being from open play? All of them. Everton are the only team in the Premier League not to have scored from a set piece this season.
Not from a free kick in the box?
No, absolutely. Every one of them has been from open play. So I know Aldo's complained about Liverpool's corners. Mm. Everton's have been equally as bad.
Well, our last game, I think we tried five different corner takers in the last game.
You've been going through.
I think it's 10 or 11.
I can't remember two set plays. Yeah. Well, you were right first time. It's 10.
Was it? Oh.
10 from open play.
The only ones I could remember.
So three set pieces, Liverpool. But Everton are the only team in the Premier League who haven't scored from a set piece.
That means
neither, which has been for the last 3 or 4 weeks, actually.
Well, neither of us have had a penalty, which is amazing. When we're just into December now, not one. Liverpool 11's not had a penalty.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
maybe would you want?
That surprised me. That surprised me.
The corners haven't been great though, Sharp.
No, they haven't been. The set pieces haven't been great. But I thought we might have scored one off a free kick going in the box.
Well, let's see if we get one tomorrow. Let's see what John's got to say. We've got another blue on the line. See whether he agrees with what Tam was saying earlier. John's from Highton. Welcome to the Legends, John.
Good evening, lads.
Good evening, hey, John.
Hello. Listen, Dan Phillip was on before, Tam. I appreciate a little bit what he's saying, as in a target man type thing, because I don't think Lukaku's much of a back-to-goals player. Although he's brilliant on the floor, he does leave a lot to be decided with his back-to-goal. But as for Fellaini, I don't think Fellaini's the type of player we need. Maybe a Bonny or even a Benteke prior to him going to Liverpool would have suited Lukaku more, but definitely not a Fellaini. But what I did call in to talk about Graeme is Martinez's tactics again. I've spoken to you about this before, Graeme, and actually I'm not a fan of Martinez. I've got to be honest, I think his tactics are really poor. And since I spoke to you, we've played twice, and twice we've come out in total in neutral. We're not up for the game when we first come out. The game, Sunderland's at home, we could have been 2-0 down after 18 minutes. And the West Ham game, I know West Ham are playing quite well at the moment, but we're letting teams get on top of us early doors. And that's creating an issue in itself where we have to put that extra energy in to get on level with them. And then obviously even more energy to go past them, if you know what I mean, and not just goal scoring, but get on top. And I just think it's because we're not coming out from the blocks at any pace whatsoever. And as you've indicated in previous weeks, we seem to have gone back to this passing very slowly from the back. When we've got three of the fastest players in the Premier League in the club, i.e. Delafeu, even, you know, whether he's playing or not, Morelos, who isn't getting the game, and Lukaku, I mean, the man's 6'4", but he's really rapid, yet we're playing so slow that it's a hindrance for me.
John, I think you're right, and I think, you know, we've said all along, once we go a goal behind, it gives us a kick up the backside. We think, well, we've got to get back in the game here. And then we see us going forward, we're seeing there's a little bit more, you know, conviction going forward and try to make things happen. I agree with you. At times, the game is so flat, and I'm thinking to myself, grab the game by the scruff of the neck, go and try and do something from the first whistle, go and make something happen. Then all of a sudden, they get the crowd on their feet, the crowd get behind you, but the crowd are very quiet because they're not seeing anything happening on the pitch. So I agree with you. You know, I think we're better this year when we've gone a goal behind, because it's actually kicked us up the backside.
Which has happened in 10 of the matches this season, Graham. That's
incredible. But as John says here, I would like to see them coming out the blocks really quickly. Talked about Liverpool a few years ago when they used to do that. You know, they blew teams away by 25 minutes. They'd got a couple of goals or three goals or whatever. That's what I'd like to see us doing. But for whatever reason, we always start slowly. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's definitely down to Martinez, because you think on certain occasions some of your team might not be up for it from the beginning. You can see that. You can say, oh, he's playing well, but he's struggling a little bit. But it's all of them, and it's every week. Now, I don't know whether they're warming up properly or I think there is tactics, because after the derby, he came out and said, we were very brave, we tried a new tactic. And that's what it was. It was sit back and try and make something on the break. Well, that's all good and well, but our defence is all over the place at the moment because of injuries, not because they're not good players, because of the injuries. You know, we haven't had a settle-back for all season, so you can't do that. You've got to go out and attack teams from the start, because you know you haven't got your full-back for them. And you said earlier on, change the subject totally, yeah. You said about we need a centre-forward. Totally agree with you, but we haven't had two quality centre-forwards since your day, Graham. You know, under Moisey, we'd have a good centre-forward with Jelovic or even, you know, else before that. But no one, if they got injured, they didn't have a quality backup. And that's the same now.
John, that's my worry. That's my worry. And I think that, you know, you talk about players and it's a squad game now and they get rested and everything else. I think Lukaku's played most of the games this year, if not
every game.
Every single one. So what I'm saying is, he's a young boy and a young lad kind of thing, but there's going to come a time in any young lad or any player's career when they have a little barren spell and they're not playing well, that's the time to take them out and bring somebody else in. But I agree with you, we haven't got a backup. Now, that's a worry for me. You know, God forbid if, you know, he gets an injury and he's out for a lengthy time, we ain't get anybody that I would think would come in and score the goals and do the job that he does. Okay, I agree with the fact that he's back to when he's got the back to goal, his play's not great, his link-up play's not good. But what he has got is he's scoring goals.
Yeah.
And that is
my
biggest worry. If he goes out the team, I don't think we've got anybody else in. And I think that's the area where we need to strengthen. Do you do it in January? Yeah, you'd like to think so if there's anything about. But, you know, it's money and strikers cost money.
Graham?
Yeah?
At the end of the day, money's irrelevant. I know we haven't got a lot, but money's irrelevant, because if we don't get a striker, we're going to end up worse than we did last season.
Yeah.
So we get less money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a catch 22. We need to speculate, because I'm not disrespecting to any other team in that league, with the exceptions of Man City and Arsenal. Man United are catchable. They're not playing well. They're winning, but they're not playing well. Chelsea are where they are. Tottenham are doing well. They've only lost one, but they're not winning every game.
No, I agree
Liverpool
with you.
Is similar to ourselves. So speculate. Get another goal scorer, and that would take us up the league. But can I just add two more points very quickly?
Go on.
I sit in the park end, and the lads who sit next to me, they actually work for Everton at Finch Farm. And they've told me that they don't practice free kicks or corners for or against. You just don't give it. And
we've heard this one before, John, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how true it is, but they work it. They're there every single day. I'm not going
to
tell you what they do.
It's hard
to
believe.
Because nobody gets them into trouble. But they tell me they don't practice for corners for or against.
John, they shouldn't be watching training. They should be working.
The last point, Graham.
Yeah.
You know, we do need a centre-forward, but we also need a centre-half, because if either of them two, Murray or Stones, gets injured, Galloway's been fantastic. He's only 19 after all, but the last point, and it will be my last point, is do you not think we need another goalkeeper? Because so far Howard this season has cost us at least 5 points.
And I think you've made 5 points tonight. well in, John. Brilliant. Let Sharpie answer
John
the last one.
John said he needed four players there, Sharpie.
But no, but as I said, in his last point about Tim Howard, he's cost us 5 points. But how many points has he won us? You know, and I think it's easy to beat a goalkeeper up, and I blame Mignolet for the goal against Crystal Palace, but Yeah, I can understand there's a little bit of criticism going around here, but for me, I think there's more positives from Tim Howard than negatives.
John, great to have you on. Thanks very much. Wonderful call. Thanks very much indeed, John from Highton. Very much a blue with a number of points to make. Let's refocus on the Reds, Aldo, here, because it is a game that many are looking forward to, particularly with Raheem Sterling facing Liverpool for the first time since they've... Do Liverpool actually miss him and... How do you think he's done since he's left? Has he exceeded your expectation at City?
I think he's done okay. You know, I watched him play for England in the week. You know, he's still very erratic in many ways. He's does some really good things, but then he does some silly things. But he's only a baby still, isn't he? When you look at his age, he's been about since he was 15. And you'd expect him to get better. And as Sharpie said before, With the quality that they've got, Man City, and they've paid a lot of money for the quality they have up front, and they're paying like 200, 250 grand a week to these players. They'll only enhance him and help him. Of course they will.
He's intimated that himself, hasn't he?
Yeah, of course they will. And so is his agent, but we won't talk about him because he talks. But at the end of the day, Liverpool got to focus on the game, not Raheem Sterling.
Yeah,
you know, he's there, you know, whichever side he plays on, fullback, do a job on him, you know him. If you keep him quiet, we will have a much better chance of winning the game. But there's other players around him who are far more dangerous than Raheem for me. You know, so, you know, this Sterling thing, the media love it. But for me, he's just another player in the team.
Yeah. Are you more confident going there under Klopp than you would have been under Rodgers?
I'm more confident in them now than I would have been, you know, in the last season or early on in the season. Yeah, they have, because I can see the turnaround. You know, the manager's reinstalled the confidence in the camp. You know, okay, we got beat our last game, which hurt because it was at home. But certainly, away from home, he's done all right. Tottenham, he ground as a result out there, 0-0. Chelsea, we won. You know, this is going to the hardest ground in the country. You know, we're the best team in the country at this moment in time. So it's a different task. Tactically, I think Klopp is very, very good. What I liked against Palace was what he did in a certain part of the game when other managers would have gone like for like. He brought a player off, a whole midfield player off, and he put Firmino on. I thought, I like that. I like that. Now, he's going for it. You know, he's going for the 3 points. You know, it's more or at the time. Other manager would have gone like, oh, Joe Allen, he'll go and then, you know, just like for like. But he never. He broke Sean off. And you go for me, you know, go and win the game. I like that. That was good tactics. It didn't pay off, but it was it was good tactics for me.
Good to
see.
Refreshing stuff. Thanks very much indeed. Right, we're heading rapidly into part three, so you've got to get thinking about who you're going to put your money on this week, and we'll tell you where the money went last week. And there's some good news on the Legends.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to The Legends. It's been a while since Liverpool last picked up a league win away at Manchester City.
It's Gerrard's corner. It's Torres!
Yes!
Get in! Two for him. Again, Fernando Torres. Two in the derby and two today against Manchester City. That one with his head. Steven Gerrard's corner kick glanced in past Joe Hart from Fernando Torres. He continually offers Liverpool a lifeline.
Fellaini, couldn't he?
Ball,
ball down the left channel for Ben Ayoun. He's to the left edge of the box. This might fall for Torres to wrap up. Breaks for Kelch.
Yes!
Dirk Kelch hasn't scored in the league since last November. And what a time to end your drought. The winner, you would presume, against Manchester City. Fernando Torres played his fair part in that goal, but Dirk Kuyt couldn't really miss from that distance. Manchester City 2, Liverpool 3.
What a comeback, John. Do you remember the year?
I do, yeah. Oh, 09.
Close.
0-10.
No, the other way. You went the wrong way.
Right, but he scored some goals at the moment for Feyenoord. Dirk Kuyt.
Yeah.
Still
knocking them in.
No, it was a great comeback. It was, yeah. Good game.
Okay, and somebody who was knocking them in last week was Sharpie. The man who got the bets right. We've got Sandro from Skybet on the line. Sandro, great to have you on again. Have you been counting up all those Sharpie's winnings, I should say, from last week?
Yeah, absolutely, we have. I also owe Sharpie an apology as well, because I did mock him for his treble last week.
Yes, you did. You did, and you put the curse on me. I just seen the boys before we come on here. You said, oh, the curse of the Friday night game, and it was Poland against Iceland. And by the time I got in the house and turned the telly on, it was Poland nil, Iceland one. And I thought, he's done me. He's done me here. But I was fortunate. So, Sandra, go on then. How much did I win? 300 and what?
So, it paid out, should have been about 7 or 2. By way of an apology and a good gesture, we rounded out 4 to 1. So 60 quid at 4 to 1.
200 quid. So,
250, yeah. Mm. Yeah, brilliant.
Oh, it's just one result. I thought you had three.
No, three results.
Poland, Peterborough and Bradford. He had
Sandra.
Well
done, mate. Yeah. That's just a Poland effort.
No, we did three up, so that was it. So good money in the coffers.
Well done, mate.
Gary
well done.
Gillespie let you down.
No, I had it up, you know. No, but I couldn't get it on. I phoned up and no one answered the phone at Radio City in the morning. Friday morning.
Last time you phoned,
it came in. Yeah,
we know what happened.
Would have been 1,345 quid.
Yeah. We know what happened last time you phoned, Aldo. So that's why we're not putting you on again.
Right, Sandro, I'm going to go first because I won last week.
Okay,
so I've got three here, mate. I've got Birmingham to beat Charlton.
Okay, yeah, interesting. I mean, Gary Rout's working wonders there, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, Charlton seeming a bit of a pickle, don't they, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So you're about an 8 to 11 there, Birmingham.
Okay, and then I go Reading to beat Bolton.
Okay, interesting week for Reading, isn't it?
Yeah.
Steve Clark, sort of, is he going, is he staying? Is there a new man coming in? So 4 to 6 there, about Reading.
And my last one, Wigan at home to beat Shrewsbury.
Yeah, that 4 to 6, Wigan looking at good things at the moment, really. Really firing on all cylinders. Got a great result away at Rochdale last Saturday.
Okay, smashing that to me, Sandro.
Lovely.
Yeah, and me, mate, Sandro. Yeah, I'm going to go with Everton to beat Aston Villa.
Oh.
Yeah, Sharpie's not happy with that because I'm putting the mockers on him, he says. I'm going to do my old team, Newport County, to beat Yeovil.
Okay, that's 6-5. Newport County there, at home to Yeovil.
That's not a bad price, mate. And the last one is Crystal Palace on Monday night to beat Sunderland.
Oh, well, you're being patient, Aldo. Yeah. You wait until Monday night.
Yeah, I am, mate, yeah.
What price are they? 8-15,
Palace. And what was Everton's price again, sorry?
4-7, they are at home to Villa.
Okay, that's all right.
So there you go, boys. Good luck.
Thanks.
Cheers, Sandro. All right, Sandro. Cheers, mate.
Thanks very much indeed, pal. Sandro from Skybet. Other betting firms are available, of course, for you to invest in, if that's the right word. Right.
I didn't even know what Crystal Palace were playing. So
playing on Monday night. Monday night against Sunderland.
Lizzie hasn't put it on the sheet.
You do last man standing. I've got two going. I put Everton in one. And to ensure I put Palace under the one, so, you know, just keep going.
Okay,
one and not the
couple of quick-fire questions before we leave, because we've had a numerous amounts of tweets coming in. James from McGull, what would be your first signing in January, Sharpie? Wow. A centre-forward, I think you said.
Yeah, striker for me.
Yeah. Mick from Kirkdale says, who's City's biggest threat tomorrow, Aldo?
Aguero. Absolutely, yeah. Without doubt, even if he's on the bench.
Well, you see, didn't he come off the bench and score 20 seconds against Liverpool or something?
He's a fantastic player.
Ben from Highton, should Baines be starting when he's back, Sharpie?
Yes.
Yeah, despite the plaudits that have been
raised. I think it would be harsh on young Galloway, but I think Baines, with the experience and everything else, I think he gives us something more of an attacking edge.
Back to the Reds, Harry from Toxteth. How much of a boost is it knowing the likes of Milner and Ibe are fit for tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, the more players available, obviously the better for your squad and for the bench to be stronger. And you know, he's missed Sturridge there, apparently. He might be on the bench as well. Henderson's near fitness, you know, he's training with lads, so it's looking a little bit rosier.
Mm. Matty from Sandhills, back to the Blues. Do you think Lukaku plays better alongside Kone? I think we've had this debate.
Yeah, I think he's better with somebody up alongside him or to support him as much as they possibly can. So it's not necessarily a two, but it's about getting support to him quickly.
Okay, final minute. Tommy from Egbert, do you think Benteke will be a problem for the City defenders?
I hope so. You know, if we give him the right service, you know, from where there is, we don't hit the first man, you know, as much as we do. Just hang them up, and if you can get down back the far post, as we talked about the other week, you know, give himself more options. Yeah, so if he gets the service, I'm sure he will. Yeah.
Okay. Final seconds for a prediction. Then let's stay with Liverpool at City. You You'd take a draw, wouldn't you? Yeah, one, straight out of Aldo's mouth.
I think we'll get a draw.
Yeah, and Everton, I should say.
I hope we get a victory. Of course I do. But I don't think it's as easy as what everybody says. And it's always that first game for a new manager syndrome. But hopefully Everton can win comfortably.
Great stuff, Sharpie. Great stuff, Aldo. Thanks very much for your time. As always, the Legends, of course, will return on Monday evening. So make sure you're with Radio City Sport, 6:30 Monday night.
It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.